Mishnah Yomis for Thursday, the 15th day of Tishrei, the Tovshin Pehei, the first day of Yom Tov of Sukkos. Masechta Baba Metzia, Perek Shishi, Mishnah Ches. Amavri Chavis Mimakam Lamakam Ushvar, a person who's moving a barrel for his friend from place to place and he broke it. Ben Shamachinam, Ben Shamasacha, whether it was a Shamachinam who doesn't receive any money for moving the barrel, or whether it's a Shamasacha who gets paid for moving the barrels. In either case, Yeshava, he simply has to swear that he wasn't negligent, and he gets exempt from paying anything. He doesn't have to pay back or compensate the owner for any losses of the barrel. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Zev Zeh Yeshava, he agrees, he says, yes, I've heard this from my teachers, that each one of them, the Shamachinim or the Shamasacha, the paid guardian or the non-paid guardian, each one of them, Yeshava, can swear that they weren't negligent and they get out of paying, but I don't understand. V'tameyani, I don't understand. How can they do this? What's the logic behind it? Hashem HaSachar is only exempt for Oinsim, for things beyond his control, but per Gneva Veda, things that are stolen or a loss or something like this, breaking while they're moving it, they should be chayv to pay, even if there's no negligence. And breaking of barrels is not an oinus. It's not something beyond their control. And even Hashem HaChinam sometimes is pesheya, sometimes can be negligent. For example, if he's going on a straight path, it's not a slanting road or anything like that, in that case, breaking the barrel is really should be considered a negligence. How can they each swear that they wasn't negligent to get out of it? This is what Rabbi Eliezer was questioning in our Mishnah. Now, some of Farshim learn in our Gemara that the Tanakhama holds that Niska Lav Besheyo, person who stumbles, is not called negligent. He stumbled, made a mistake. It's not like he did it on purpose. It's not like it was negligent. It was not Besheyo. And that's how the Tanakhama, that's the logic behind this halacha, that they both can give a shvua. Some people in the Gemara learn that the Tanakhama held a niskal is lav pesheyahu, that someone who stumbles over something is not a pesheyahu, is not considered negligent. It's considered an oinus, considered an accident. And therefore, even the Shamasach is able to swear and to be exempt from payment because he's potifar oinsim. Whereas the Tanakhama would hold, Niskal is lav pesheyahu. If someone stumbles, they're not a pesheyahu at all. It's not considered negligent. It couldn't help it. It's all considered an onus, according to the Tanakhama. And therefore the Tanakhama had no problem with the Shem HaSachar swearing and being paid, that he wasn't negligent and he gets out of payment. And with the Shem HaChinam, certainly that the case, because if it's an onus, everyone's potter, the Shem HaSachar and the Shem HaChinam. Some of Farshim learn that even according to the Tanakhama, min ha-din, they shouldn't really be able to swear. In other words, the Tanakhama also holds niskal is poshaya, that a person who stumbles is considered negligent. Aye, what's the pshat, what happened here? But he holds what the case is, that this shvua is simply a takonas chachamim. It's a special takana that they made, despite the fact that a niskal is besheh, despite the fact that there's a little bit of negligence there when someone stumbles over. What was the reason? Why did the Chachamim come and say that even though this is a bit of a pesheya, nevertheless you can swear, get out of it? It's because of a special takana of the world. It's a special takana that if we hold that someone who is moving the barrels of his friend and it gets broken, and that he has to pay for the damage, no one's going to do the job. Who's going to want to do something and as a Shema? Certainly not a Shema Chinam, but you want to do something with someone and you know that you're responsible if it gets broken on the way, no one will want to do it. So that's how some explain. So some explain that the Machlokes is simply, is Niskal Pashay or not? If someone stumbles while doing a job, is even on flat ground, is that considered negligence or not? Tanakhama holds no, and therefore it makes good sense that the Shema Sichar and Shema Chinam can swear and get out of it. It's an onus. don't have to pay. Whereas according to Rabbi Eliezer, he's surprised about it, and he says no, he holds niskal is pesheya. If you stumble, you're negligent, and the only reason they can swear and get out of it is because the takana of the chachamim is, if you require people to swear to pay up, no one's going to do the job. They're too scared of doing it. Perek Shvi'i. We move to a new perek, Mishnah Aleph. Hasoches Apoilim, person who hires workers daily, per day, V'omar Lehem, and he says to them, Hashkim Larav, he says to them, get up early, before dawn, or before sunrise, and I want you to stay there till dark, until the sun goes down. Now, we're talking about a case where he actually hired them without stipulating that, didn't make any tonight, they agreed to come to work. And it's only afterwards, when they go out to work, he tells them, you make sure you be there before sunrise. And you stay there till after dark. Mokum, so what's the halacha? Can he do this? Mokum shenogel shlol hashkim, shlol harben shalakofen. If it's a place where they don't normally do this, they don't normally work in such hours from before dawn or from dusk, from dawn to dusk. If they don't work in that way, from sunrise to sunset, then he cannot change. The employer cannot change their conditions. No, and he has to stick with the conditions of the place as they are pertinent to employee-employee relations. The Gemara explains that the Mishnah wants to tell us that even if he offered them more money, he hired them a higher rate of pay per day or per hour, he can't go back and say, oh, I gave you a higher rate, you should be coming to work before sunrise, staying there till sunset. He can't do that. Why? Because it doesn't always work that way. It doesn't work that way. He can't. It could be that because the workers can say to him, the only reason you gave us money is in that way that is in order that we should do better quality work, not that we should get up before sunrise and be there after dusk. Mekom shenogel lozon, continues the Mishnah, a place where there's a custom to give mezonos, to give food to the workers. Yosin. The employer has to do the same. The sapik masika, if it's normally the employer gives them some sweets and good nice things with their food, then yisapik, then he should supply them with those sweets and those things which are hakol kaminigam dinner. Everything follows what is the normal custom in the locality. The Gemara explains that these words come to include that even in a place where they give breakfast in the house of the balabais, in the house of the employer, before they go out to work, there must have been some places where they had that custom. If the employer says, no, you just go out early to your work before sunrise and I'll bring you your food out in the field. No, that's not on. He can't do that either. There was a story about Rabbi Yochanan Masya, and the Gemara explains that there's some words missing in our Mishnah. And the words that are missing are that if it's a place that they normally give mezonos even without stipulating that, and the person says, I'm going to give you mezonos, ribolam, then he has to give him even more than what's normally accepted. And in this we find a story with Maisa, there was a story with Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya, Sha'amal Ivnoi, who said to his son, Tsei Sechodon Apoilim, go and hire for us workers. Holach, so he went and he hired workers, or Posek Lamazonis, and he arranged to give them Mazonis. Shabbat Eitzel Aviv, and when he came to his father, Omaloi, his father said to him, Bini, my son, Avilu ato Yisraelahem, Kisuda Shlomo Bishaito, even if you're going to give your workers a meal as big as Solomon, King Shlomo, and in the time of his glory, as described in the Tanakh, a huge Suda, Lo Yotzosi Dechevoschim, and you would not have fulfilled your duty to your workers. Shehen Bnei Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov, because they are the children of Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov, and the Sud of Avram was even bigger than that of Shlomo Melch. By the Sud of Shlomo, it says, Yehuda and Yisrael, Rabim Kechol Hayom, and Kechol HaShvatzim, well, Avram Avinu, it says he made three bulls for three people. Elovbat, before they start their work, where you're only talking about the conditions there, and you can still change your conditions of employment, that's Tzeve Amalhem. That's when you should say to them, Amanos she'ein lechem alai elapas v'kidnes levad. You shall say, I'm hiring you on condition that I'll only have to give you bread and beans. In other words, you have to make it clear that you did not mean when you said you'll give a mazonos, you did not mean anything more than bread and beans, as is customary in our place. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amer, Lahoya Tzech Lamer. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says he doesn't even have to make such a condition with the workers, even though he was posted for them mazonos. Nevertheless, Hakol Kiminigam Dina. Everything follows the Minigam Dina, and he would not be chayiv to give them anything more than what is normally done and given to the workers in that place. And the Lach is indeed Rabbi like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that he doesn't have to give any more. And make that stipulation, I'm only giving you bread and kidneys. If that's the custom in a place, that's all he has to supply.